Hey guys, there were a ton of issues with my microphone last night. My audio was fading in and out. I had to go back over and dub over some parts. So please excuse how my audio sounds on this episode. I promise I will have it fixed before the next episode is recorded. Thanks. So we are back with Awkwardish. For those of you who are new to Awkwardish, this is where we discuss things like mental health, substance abuse, domestic violence, all those subjects where many of us were taught to shy away from. We face them here. My name is Ruby, and I'm here with my co-host Tony. Say hi, Tony.
Hello. How's it going? So our topic today is going to be what? Trauma, right?
Yeah, we're talking about trauma today. I guess we'll start with what is trauma before we even get started talking about it. So I tend to always look up what the technical definition of something is. So according to the APA, trauma is an emotional response to a terrible event like an accident, rape, a natural disaster, an attack, or, you know, something like that. But those of us who have experienced trauma know that it goes so much deeper than that. That sounds like it's something simple, but trauma can affect your day-to-day life. It can affect the way you eat, sleep, breathe, the way you interact with people. Yeah, it can make life anywhere from uncomfortable to unbearable.
Yeah, and it's like, and there are different types of trauma, right? There's a acute from a single event, chronic, which is from like the domestic violence or abuse, and complex, which is varied. It can be from a factor of things, right? So yeah. There's all these different types, and then one that's really common with people that, you know, live in, you know, lower income areas is just with like, it's PTSD. That's the most common type, one of the most common types of trauma, along with, you know, domestic violence, abuse, and things like that. Like, I know I myself have experienced that. Just from living in some of these areas, and also from being in a domestic violence type situation when I was young. And some of these things really stick with you.
Want to share a little bit about your story with trauma?
Yeah, and well, like, I can remember from when I was a little kid, one that like really stuck with me was that this was in Mexico, and these two guys were having a duel. I think it was like an argument over a horse or something. So they like did it old school, and they're like, sundown, wear your best, come with all your possessions on you, and basically we're gonna fight to the death over whatever argument we had. And that's exactly what happened. They showed up, and then they ended up, I remember having a gunfight in the middle of the street, and then one guy was wearing like a light color, and that's a guy that ended up dying because he got shot like 8 times. And it just stuck with me. Like, just, I remember seeing that, like, just the sounds, like the gunfire, the smell of the gunpowder and all that. And I can remember it like as if it was yesterday, right? And also just from growing up, there was like, often there'd be like these gang battles and stuff like that. Like, I remember one time we saw a guy get jumped, and then like his eyeball was dangling out of his face. And it was just like, it was grotesque, and it was just like, wow, it's real out here, you know? So it was just things like that. And also, like, I remember a guy was shooting at another guy and another car, and didn't care who he was shooting at. He was like, it was like randomly up and down the street right outside my high school. And it was just one of those things growing up where it was like, it was common enough that, you know, it was just another thing that you saw.
Like you said, with being so common, you adapt and you develop these behaviors, these coping strategies that you don't even realize aren't considered to be quote unquote normal. And you have all these expectancies and these trauma responses. And you think that it's just, you know, that's just life because it's what you grew up around.
Yeah.
And it can be a little jarring when you get out there and you discover that not everyone has to go through these things.
Right. Because I was like, oh, you guys didn't experience that? Like, they're like, no. Like, I thought it was normal. Like, what's going on here?
I guess I can relate to that in a similar fashion because of when we moved from the Bay Area to Nevada, because it was so different out there when we moved there.
It was like moving to another planet. And so many of the kids out there, they had the idea of someone getting shot was just like foreign to them, at least at that point in time. From what I hear now, it's the same out there now as it is out here. But it was just like, I remember kind of feeling like it wasn't fair that I had to grow up knowing about these things and they didn't.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't I get to have a carefree childhood, you know? And it's things like that, those emotions and those traumas that often lead to people self-medicating through substance use because they want to forget what they see and what they go through.
Yes. Very much so.
Absolutely. So I think I've talked a lot. People are probably tired of me talking about my trauma on this podcast. I mean, I've talked about, you know, being bullied and going through domestic violence. I don't think I've talked specifically about sexual assault on this podcast, and that's a little too heavy to be dropping into an already heavy topic. But I mean, I've discovered through talking to my therapist and psychiatrist, I mean, apparently I have more traumatic stress disorders than I realized. I apparently have PTSD, CPTSD, some type of grief disorder, which is also a traumatic disorder. It's like, I was looking through my medical record and I'm like, these are things that I hadn't even heard of. This is a real disorder, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it can be a little daunting and a little discouraging when you see you've been diagnosed with so many things because of things that have happened to you.
Right. And I think it's good to know, though, that you do have these things so then that you can work on them, you know, because it's like so often enough we go on life without really, we know something's there, but, you know, don't really want to approach the topic because then it's going to bring uncomfortable feelings. It's going to bring uncomfortable memories. It's going to stir things up, as it were.
Yeah, one of the phrases that I've heard so many times in my life is, why don't you let sleeping dogs lie? Meaning, why don't you leave the past buried? Why don't you just move forward? Why do you have to dig that up? But what a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of the time you have to dig that up. You have to perform that autopsy of a sorts.
Right.
Figure out, you know, what happened in the past and heal that in order to move forward, you know, yeah. And get, you know, and be able to go forward in your life. Because you can't just live right. The path.
So,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
But I think you wanted to talk about a dog.
Well, it was. Well, let me give you the background first. It was one of the worst experiences of my life. It was like right around Christmas Day of 2005. We had gone to Mexico on a vacation. We had spent like 3 days getting to Mexico, and the day we got there, shit went down. Like, some guy tried to kill my dad, and like, my dad acted in self-defense, and you know, what ended up happening is, like, we reported it, but no cops wanted to come and get the gun from the guy who my dad disarmed. Then the next day, when we're out shopping for all the things for, you know, the feast that we are going to have on Christmas Day, the guy's there waiting for him and starts unloading his pistol at my dad. So my dad returns, kills the guy, and then, you know, goes on the run, gets caught, and then we're like going through army checkpoints, and you know, they have the whole area sealed off, and somehow we make it to Guadalajara, and then we're there waiting as my dad like is being locked up. And we see this dog, right? Like, we're just like miserable, but we see this dog, he's an old grizzled dog with like a very large testicle sack that has calluses on it, and he's just seen some things, and it was just like that moment of, oh my god, this is hilarious, right? Like, and it was just like, it kind of like cut the tension. We're able to laugh a little bit, and it's like, it's kind of what happens with like trauma, right? Like, you gotta find something within the darkness that actually helps you get through it. Because, and his name was Balls the Dog, by the way.
Did you guys name him that, or was that his actual name?
No, that's what we named him.
Okay, I'm like, please tell me you didn't find his owner, and the owner was like, yeah, that's my dog, Balls. Like,
that's what we named him.
That is so true. But that when you're going through something so dark, you know, you have to grab onto the teensiest bit of something to hang on to until you can come through on the other side.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't even know if you're gonna make it through to the other side. So you just grab onto that something, you know, just to get through the day and just to get through the hour.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna use that to segue over to something very interesting that I found. And it's so funny. One of my clients at my at my addiction counseling job, she recommended this article to me. And it's by Valentina Stoycheva. I can't pronounce names, I'm sorry. But it's about how the characters from Winnie the Pooh, they represent different aspects of trauma or trauma responses. And as I was reading it, I'm like, oh my god, like, this is so true. And it explained why I relate to some characters more and why I related to some characters more in childhood versus adolescence. So I did take some notes on that because, yeah, I mean, it's just, it all fits so well. Like, I'll start with Piglet. So Piglet represents anxiety and hypervigilance. That's the anxiety and hypervigilance that's common in the aftermath of a traumatic event. Like, how he's always afraid. He's, every little thing scares him. He's afraid of his own shadow. And he also experiences significant social anxiety. If you notice, the only friend that he's really comfortable around is Pooh, his best friend. His other friends, they're his friends, but he doesn't like hang out with them.
Yeah.
Maybe a rabbit every now and then, you know? Tigger represents arousal and reactivity, difficulty concentrating, and feeling like your mind is racing and moving faster than you can like catch it. Also impulsivity and like engaging in risky behavior. That's Tigger to a T.
Yeah.
He doesn't look before he leaps. He doesn't think before he acts. He always wants to get into the next thing. He's just a bundle of energy. We all know what Eeyore is. Depressed, kind of gloomy, unable to experience joy. But one thing that the article pointed out that I hadn't thought of is that he's perpetually self-critical, and he's always surprised that his friends care about him. And how often do we get into that feeling of, like, why does anybody even care? I'm not worth it. How often do we blame ourselves for our traumas? You know? Rabbit, obsessed with order, inflexible, irritable. That's because traumatic events threaten our understanding of the world. So many of us become control freaks in the aftermath of trauma, of a traumatic event. I know I did. What do you think Al is?
Discernment?
That's actually a good guess. That he actually has difficulties with intimacy. So he's aloof and can only connect through intellectualizing. Like, if you notice, all he does is sit up in his tree and he, like, preaches at people, like, lectures people. But he never actually connects with them. You know, he doesn't actually hang out with them. He doesn't, you know, they don't ever share a laugh.
Right.
He just kind of, like, he lectures them and he flies away. Because he's afraid of connecting.
Okay.
And then the last one is Pooh. This one actually took me by surprise. So it says he's lovable, naive, a bit scattered, and he has to remind himself to think. But it says he represents dissociation.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's just, for some reason, I don't know what I thought Pooh would represent, but that surprised me.
To me, it makes sense because he's kind of disconnected and kind of like very much in his own world.
That's true, yeah. So which characters do you feel you relate to the most?
I think Tigger and Pooh.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Because it's like I tend to be really really not look before I leap, kind of impulsive, very like into my own world at times. That's why.
Okay. See, for me, definitely, probably the last 25 years, I've related more to Eeyore, especially the being surprised when people care, or when people compliment me, or, you know, or just when people are nice to me, and it's when I say that out loud, it sounds bizarre. But there's always that feeling of, well, maybe I don't deserve it, you know? Mm. Which is something that I'm working on in therapy. But, yeah, definitely relate to Eeyore. And probably a little bit of Piglet, because I have severe anxieties that I'm also working on.
Okay. I could see both. But we're all works in progress.
Yes, and hopefully I can make a little bit more progress.
That's a goal for me too.
So, Tony, do you have anything else to add about our subject, trauma, Any last words,
so to speak? No, I think I'm all talked out.
To everyone listening, if you could please follow us on Instagram at Awkwardish Podcast. We're also now on Threads, which I guess is Instagram's answer to Twitter, under the same handle. Please remember to like, subscribe, and rate the podcast. That will help move us up the ranks and be shown to more people. And stay tuned for the next episode.
Yay.
Yay.